Just quickly, if you've got a question you would like answered on this show, then head over to @AshBorland on Instagram and drop me a direct message. I answer questions from people all the time on this show, and it's one of my favorite things to do every single morning before I start my day. So if you've got a question within marketing or sales or processes within financial services, then drop me a DM @AshBorland on Instagram, or ashborland.com/Instagram, and it'll redirect you there, and I will answer the question on the show when we get around to it. Anyway, let's get into this episode. So in this episode, I want to talk about LinkedIn articles and LinkedIn newsletters. More importantly, that's what they are, and how they work and where they can be useful for you and where they potentially might not be as good. So the pros and cons between them and posts, and also how you create them, because I think this is something that is popping up more and more. We're seeing more and more people talking about them now, and let's just talk about what they are. So first off, the first thing to understand with a LinkedIn article or newsletter, so it's a LinkedIn newsletter is what we refer them as. What do they do? From very quick overview of what they do, they allow you to create articles. So they're up to, I think it's up to 120,000 characters, which is massive considering that the actual LinkedIn post is only 3,000 characters. So it's only 3,000 characters on a normal LinkedIn post, 120,000 on a LinkedIn newsletter. Now, do you need 100? Do you need, you know, more than probably 3,000? Probably not, but in some cases you might. So this is what they are, and what they effectively are is they're effectively a blog post that people can get access to, and you literally just create them on the LinkedIn profile. So they sit on your LinkedIn profile. They're called newsletters. They used to be LinkedIn articles, and if I just click on one here on the screen now, you'll be able to see, and people, if you're listening to this, come and check out the YouTube channel to be able to see this, because it just does different stuff. They're effectively a blog post that can go a little bit more in depth than a normal LinkedIn post. Now, there are a number of great things about this. So one of the great things that you can see, so some of the pros, the first one is you're able to do a number of things. Firstly, like I said, it's a much higher limit, but secondly, one of the things you can do is you can link into these. So as you can see with all of the stuff here on mine already, I've got links to my website, I've got links to my podcast, I've got links to my Instagram. You are able to link out to your business, to your chosen lead magnets. And this is really important, because if you look at normal traditional social media channels, you can't do this. In fact, linking out can become a big problem, because when you link out, that actually dampens the reach of your post. Normally, it can make your reach significantly less, because the idea of social media platforms, they want to keep you on their platform. So anything that links out from that platform is not a good idea. Because of that, you might get less reach than you would normally get. And that's why it's always advised that you shouldn't put links in your posts. But with articles, that is not the case. With articles, you can link them out. You can put as much links in as you want, which also brings up another whole other great thing you can do, is that for someone like myself who does these videos, I'm able to link my videos if I want to. I can link the YouTube videos into the post again without being penalized. So these do allow you to create a more breadth of content. Now, another thing that's really cool about it, and you can see at the top of mine here, I've got 3,013 subscribers as of making this on this newsletter. It says daily. I didn't move to daily, and I'll probably talk about what I've done with mine in the bit at the end. But I originally started doing it daily for about 30 days to see how it would perform. I'm not doing that now. I'm doing it every week, but I just need to change the frequency of that. But you can see what's really cool with this is people can subscribe to your newsletter. And if they subscribe to your newsletter, they get an email. So very similar to a mailing list, really. They get an email with the content saying that you added something to the newsletter. And in some cases, from what I've been told and seen, you actually see the post on the email. So that goes to the email address that is registered to your LinkedIn account. So if your LinkedIn account is, as you say, if your LinkedIn account is the account that you use for business, then you can actually get these emails, which means that if you're somebody who's not sure about how to set up maybe like a email list, which obviously I still think you should be doing an email list. Email lists are great, and I talk about them quite a lot in different episodes. But if you're not somebody who's not quite there yet, or you want to maybe hit some different audience for yourself, you can do this with your LinkedIn newsletter quite easily. And again, it's very simple to do. Again, another one of the benefits of these LinkedIn newsletters is they are actually searchable. So they appear on Google. You can actually can SEO them, and they can will appear on search like a blog. So they are exactly the same as a blog in the eyes of Google, which is great, because what that means is this type of content has more legs. It means that if you are making these articles, then it means that they could be found year after year after year, which is the downside, as I said, going through these, the downside of posts is that you don't. Once they get posted out, they're out there, they're in the world, but they don't keep working for you. Once they're out there, they don't come back, and they're probably irrelevant within maybe 2 or 3 days, maximum a week, unless it's viral, which we're not probably going to be getting. So these are the type of things you have to consider, and that's one of the benefits of a LinkedIn newsletter, is this ability to create something that can just live on and on. So if you haven't got a blog, again, if you haven't got a blog, if you haven't got a newsletter, you haven't got your own kind of email list that you're using, this can be a great way for you to get started in that, to start to use that, to maybe see if there's legs with it, and if you enjoy it, maybe move over to a blog. One thing to point out and remember is that the duplicate content rules still apply. So I'll probably talk about that in more depth in a different episode, but effectively you mustn't duplicate your content on two sites. So if your blog is the same content as this, then that will affect your SEO. The ins and outs of SEO is not something I'm like massively, I understand SEO and I do know quite a bit about it, but it's not something that I'm always like, oh, I'm going to be the guy to talk about it. I do know a lot about it, but not enough. I just don't want to go too deep down that rabbit hole. But the reality is, it still is quite a problem if you're doing duplicate content. Now, a workaround with this you can do is, if you've spent time to write that blog, you've made a really good blog, you've made that content, you like what you've written, and if you want to have a blog and a LinkedIn article, then, and like newsletter, then what I can recommend you do is you write the blog, choose where you want to put that one. That's your piece of content that you've written, and then chuck it into something like ChatGPT or Claude 3, and then ask it, or Gemini, and ask it to update and to rewrite this so it doesn't fall in line with the duplicate content rules on Google. It will do that, and it'll keep the same essence, and that can be pretty good. In fact, it can be very good if you do it that way. So might be something to consider if you want to do the duplicate content. Now, as I say, what are the downsides of making this type of content? They don't perform anywhere near as well. They do not perform anywhere near as well as the posts. Okay, so you don't get anywhere near the same amount of reach as you would if you were creating a post. And this is the bit that people got to balance up, and that's why I said I did it for 30 days straight and cut everything else out, and I saw a decrease in my engagement, but I did see an increase in the newer people finding me from outside of the industry. So there was like people finding me from search, which was interesting, but I didn't see an increase in regards to the engagement from my already existing audience. So they're not really like a social media post. So are they beneficial? Yes. Do they have a place? Yes. But I think as a broker, I'd probably say that I'd be probably looking at doing it once a week, incorporating it into my system once a week, and then making sure I don't look and like move aside and push aside the post content, because that post content is the content that's going to drive initial engagement, and that's that conversational, observational stuff, which might get missed if you just put it into a newsletter. So I would say they're very good. I'd probably be looking at once a week, maybe once a month if you want to do every other week. Creating something that's a larger newsletter would be good. Stuff that you know is going to have legs for the long haul, that's going to be really good as well. So I'm looking at it right now as to how I'd fit it in. Maybe it's something that I make a big 120,000 character piece of content. I'm thinking, is it that? How can I use it in that way? And I'll probably report back on the show as to once I've done that as to how I've got on with it. But these are the type of things I'm looking at, is how can we use it to be more of a larger piece of content, because as of right now, you do lose and you do miss out on there. So it's not as, it can be good, it depends on what you think, but just so you fully understand how it works. Now, many people ask, how do you actually create one? It's actually really simple. You just, when you go onto the homepage on LinkedIn, from my understanding, you need to do it on the desktop. You just go to write article, where it says start a post, it'll say media, job, and write an article. When you press on that, it'll tell you which one, what brand you want to publish as, and then from there, you're straight in. All you have to do then is go to manage, go to create a newsletter, and it'll instantly open out a newsletter for you. If you've already got them, you just click on newsletters. You can have multiple different newsletters from here. And then from there, you just type, you just write, you just add things in. It's not very difficult at all. So that is how LinkedIn newsletters work. That's the overview of them. You can decide whether it's worth it for you or not in your business. Let me know if it's something else that you think you'd like to know more about it. Just drop me a message. Okay, and I will see you in the next episode. Bye. So if you have ever got any value from the content I create, from this podcast to my Instagram content to the free mortgage marketing blueprint that I update every single year, and you would like to show your appreciation completely for free, then it would mean the world to me if you head over to LinkedIn and leave me a recommendation. Let me know your feedback on what you've got from the show. It's wonderful to hear how this stuff is affecting and helping brokers in the real world. Head over to ashborland.com/LinkedIn and it will redirect you there. We need to be connected. So if we're not connected already, drop me a connection request. And if we are, just click on the button at the top and click recommendation or recommend. And do fill out the rest. And it would, like I said, it really would mean the world. Anyway, let's get on to the next episode.